hello everyone, and welcome back to Get Focused Radio. I'm hoping you're going to stay with us for the next half hour because I have another inspirational person coming up. We so enjoyed that first half hour with Miss Fran Drescher, and now I have a gentleman whose name is Frank Terrazano, and Frank has written a book called Life with Cancer, The Lauren Terrazano Story. He co-wrote this with Paul Leonardo, and I would call this a love story. It's about his beautiful daughter, Lauren, and her battle with lung cancer. So welcome, Frank, to the show.
Thank you very much, Kate.
Your story touched so many people, and I'd like you to start off by telling us about Lauren. Tell us about your daughter, Lauren.
Sure. Lauren was just a great kid. She always set high goals and ideals for herself, and she was a truly altruistic, thoughtful young lady. You know, she's always willing to help others less fortunate than herself. And through her writing, I wrote this book. Primarily, I started it in December of 2010. The reason was that often when Lauren first started her journalism career, she would say, "Daddy, someday I'm going to get a Pulitzer," and she says, "I hope to write a book about the many social problems that need resolution." She accomplished the first in part, sharing a Pulitzer with her Newsday colleagues for coverage of the 1996 TWA Flight 800 disaster off Long Island. Mm-hmm. She was one of the first reporters on the scene at that time of that tragic event, and she wrote many, many articles about victims, families that were left behind. As I said, initially, I wanted to write this book for two reasons. Not only did she display an amazing amount of courage in the last 3 years of her life there with regard to battling this disease, but she wrote her column, A Life, comma, with Cancer, and she often said to me, "Dad," she said, "even though I have cancer," she said, "I'm going to try to live my life," and that was the reason she had. She was very specific when she titled it. She said, "Life, comma, with cancer," because she wanted to differentiate between the two. So she still had her life to live, she said. And even though I have the cancer, but I'm going to live my life as best as I possibly can.
Yeah. Frank, tell me something, because Lauren wasn't a smoker.
In college, she smoked a bit.
Right.
And from time to time, as a matter of fact, she smoked. Wasn't a smoker. I mean, a steady smoker. I know she smoked in college, and even her doctors considered her a non-smoker. So it's, we don't know. I smoked for 30 some odd years, very heavy too, and how this happened to her, it just completely blows my mind. I just don't understand it.
When she was originally diagnosed, was she diagnosed with a timeline, or was there, you know, some sort of hope?
Well, initially, I believe it was at stage 3B, mm-hmm. is when she was first diagnosed. I mean, it came as a complete shock to her mom and I. And as I said, I was a heavy smoker. My kid, she never smoked. I mean, she was really a health aficionado. She jogged. She belonged to a health club, we just couldn't understand it. Still don't understand it.
How she
came down with the disease.
Now, who is Paul Leonardo? I know he co-wrote the book with you. How did the two of you decide to do this?
All right. I started writing the book, as I say, in December because it was a dream that my daughter wanted to do. So I said, I'm going to, sadly, as I said, she was unable to write her own book, and I'm hopeful in some small way that my book about her fulfills that wish.
Yeah.
I started this thing in December of 2010, and not having any training or writing experience, I mean, other than I completed English in high school, I guess, you know, I got pretty good marks there, but that was about the extent of my education. And in any event, I started to write this thing, and I got about 40, 50, 60 pages on my word processor and just hit a wall. Writers refer to it as writer's block or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, I happened to see Paul at a local station here in Boston. He was on a local television station one night. I was watching the news, and they did a feature on a book that he had co-written with a woman from this area.
Yeah.
So I said, you know, I need help, and I realized that I need help. And he had his website there and an email, and I sent him an email. I sent him my thoughts on the thing and everything I was hoping to do. And he got back to me and thought it was a worthy project, and we got together, and that's how the book is out now, thanks to him, to be honest with you. you know.
That's great. That's great. It really is. It's a wonderful. It really is a love story that you've got here. And was it? Did it bring back things to you? Was it a painful book to write, or was it a release?
It surely was. It was a double-edged sword. Here I was writing about my beautiful daughter. She was our only child, she used to tease the heck out of us. She would refer to us whenever she introduced us as Mr. and Mrs. Helicopter, because we hovered over her for all 39 years she was with us, she was just a great kid. I mean, even from her early childhood, she was always out, looking to help, whether it be animals or individual. I mean, just a really caring individual,
A good person.
Yes, the writing this book was, as I said, it was a catharsis to some degree, but it was also, brought back some horrible memories also about her suffering and what she went through with this disease, I don't know, I still can't get over it. I still there are many nights that I still don't. Shed a tear, Flora.
Well, it's still very fresh for you.
It certainly is,
Yeah.
I'd like to I can just give you some anecdotes. A few anecdotes here.
Please do.
I'd like to convey to you. When Lauren was first diagnosed, she was diagnosed in August of 2004. Mm-hmm. And the Sloan Kettering, she went to Sloan and the first thing they did was start a regimen radiation and chemo, mm-hmm. to try to reduce the size of the tumors they located in her lung. And she underwent that for almost 3 months, and that didn't seem to do much good. So in December of 2004, they decided to operate and remove her right lung, which they did. Mm-hmm. She bounced back tremendously fast from that, and she was in a state of remission, or so they say. But with cancer, one errant cancer cell gets away during the operation, and before you know it, it pops up somewhere else in the body. Unfortunately, well, in 2005, Lauren attended Boston University, and she also attended Columbia University. She got a graduate degree in journalism at Columbia, and she also taught at Columbia as a part-time adjunct professor. Mm-hmm. So she became very close friends with a young lady by the name of Dina Fernandez, who is from Guatemala. And they became very, very close, and Dina used to come up to visit us, and likewise Lauren on occasion had gone down to Guatemala to visit Dina. Well, in October of 2005, Dina had contacted Lauren and asked her, why don't you come down? She was kind of in a state of remission, and Lauren looked forward to probably getting away from, her radiation and what have you.
Sure.
So she flew down, and while there, Hurricane Stanley had hit the area shortly before Lauren got there, and there were all sorts of problems with regard to mudslides. I guess the heavy rains that the hurricane caused all sorts of mudslides on the mountain villages in Guatemala. So Lauren, being the astute journalist that she was, we still don't know how she pulled this off, but she was able to contact the U.S. Army Southern Command. They were down there on a mission of mercy trying to help the victims of these mudslides. Well, yeah. Lauren somehow convinced them to allow her to fly with them on a Chinook helicopter, and she flew on that helicopter with them for almost 15 hours, delivering foodstuffs and water to all the mountain villages, and trying to help those poor people who had been, suffered from this tragic event. So
wow.
we never knew anything about it until she got back to New York, and then her friends told us, and she was always worried about us, always trying not to alarm us or worry us, because she knew how we worried about her.
she was a daredevil.
She was a daredevil. She really was. I mean, I have one other instance I'd like to bring up.
Sure.
About 2 weeks. I think it was about a week before Christmas. This Christmas passed here. I got a call. My wife is a dialysis patient, so I was in Boston. I had gone to Boston to pick her up. When I got home, there was a message on my phone from a gentleman from Long Island, who called and left his number, and he said, would you please call me back? Didn't know who he was or anything, so I returned the call, and he started to explain. He told me his name and who he was, and he said he and his wife had run on Long Island, they had run an assisted living home for 24 mentally disabled individuals. And Lauren worked at Newsday on Long Island for 14 years, and The town that he was in was I think maybe right next to right next to the town where Newsday was located. Well, driving by, I guess one day, Lauren happened to see him, his wife, and some of his workers for the home outside. They were picketing, and what they were picketing at the time was Governor Pataki, I guess, had tried to cut funding, I guess, for the various homes that provide these services. And Lauren approached the owner and asked if she could come by, you know, at a later date to perhaps talk with him and his wife and probably get story. She said, "I can't promise it." And he said, "We'll do the story and hopefully we'll feature it in the Newsday." And again, not promising that she would be able to do that. Well, anyway, to make a long story short, this gentleman, Jack, he calls me. He tells me that on a Sunday morning, about 3 or 4 weeks later, he gets a call from one of his closest friends, and he's an early riser. He was up at 5:30, I guess, and his friend says, "Jack, did you get the Sunday paper yet, the Newsday?" And he said, "No, what are you talking about?" He says, "Just go and get the newspaper." Well, he went out and got the newspaper, and sure enough, my daughter somehow put the story together, and she was able to get a front-page story on it on the Sunday edition of Newsday. And this guy Jack Rothman, was so nice to call us and to let us know that as a result of that story that Lauren did, I'm sorry, I'm starting to get emotional here.
No.
As a result of that story that Lauren did, the funding was maintained. They did not cancel or cut the funding to, and the home is still in existence now, catering to about 14 individuals.
Wow.
So it was so nice of him to call us. I mean, just before Christmas, it really made our Christmas, to be honest with you, you know, to hear something like that.
I can only imagine. I'm going to let us go for just a quick break, Frank. And when we come back, I want to talk even more about your amazing, amazing daughter, Lauren. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You're better than the best. I'm lucky just to linger.
Some talk networks broadcast whatever they want to, whether the vibration is high or low. Others tune in to the highest vibration possible to help people live life full out. These networks don't come along very often. But when they do, they remind us that we can achieve everything that is possible. To help ourselves, to help others, and to help the planet.
I'm Sue London.
I'm Karen Hager.
I'm CJ Liu.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. These networks aren't concerned about sensationalizing bad news.
They hear something on the radio, and all of a sudden, their whole day is ruined.
They aren't concerned about sensationalizing individuals' setbacks.
Powerful, inspiring.
They focus on an amazing, innovative broadcast network.
You can learn a lot.
That helps people rise up, that helps people become empowered.
Empowered Living Radio is where you can find it.
That helps people say yes to standing in the abundance and amazement that is their lives.
The urge to grow.
These networks remind us that everything is possible.
Let us inspire you.
That nothing is limited.
Epic social change.
That our lives are much more than anything our minds would hope us to believe.
Overcome those challenges in your life.
These networks help us rise and shine to the occasion of our lives.
True empowerment.
Transformation. Talk radio is one of these networks.
Transformative radio show that will change your life.
Won't you join us? Join us on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
T
Tune in each Tuesday at 12 Pacific, 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for Quantum Techniques Talk Radio. Bring healing to chaos. This hit show will empower you to take charge of your own healing and take back your life. You'll be reminded of your innate connection to the divine through the teachings of world-renowned healing practitioners who'll provide the tools necessary to discover how to heal yourself and others. Did you know you can even prevent disease? Absolutely. Get ready to invoke the miracle of self-healing physical or non-physical causes of stress, pain, and illness. Discover toxins, pathogens, structural issues, trauma, emotions, relationships, generational issues, spiritual problems, and wrong beliefs blocking you from living a phenomenal life. Break free from the chaos and take charge of your own healing. Visit quantumtechniques.com for more information.
We are back on Get Focused Radio with my special guest, author Frank Terzano, talking about his book, Life with Cancer. Now, just before we talk a little bit more, Frank, let people know where they can go pick up this book. And then I'm going to tell you why you have to go get this book, because the proceeds go to help a whole lot of stuff. So where can people go to get pick up a copy?
Well, any of the all of major bookstores do have, if they don't have it. Let's put it this way: I know my brother he went out and bought a copy as soon as it came out, and he found it at Barnes and Noble, and Amazon.com has it on, and also Barnes and Noble has it .com has it also. So it's available just about everywhere, you know. And if it's not available in a particular store, the stores will order it for you, you know.
Oh, great. Okay, so, and is there a website? Is either yours or is it Paul's?
No, I don't have a website. Paul does. I'm 72 years old. I'm really not into that. you know, I mean, I love the technology. Don't get me wrong. I really do. I really love this technology, and I can just imagine what it's going to be like, you know, two or three more years down the road. But, you know, I'm not into that aspect of it, you know.
Lauren would laugh at you. You know that, right?
She would.
Come on,
she
Dad.
Would. Exactly. That's exactly what you used to say. What you said just then. Come on, Dad. Exactly.
I knew she said that. Tell me that I know that a lot of the proceeds of the book are going to some pretty important things. So tell us where the proceeds are going.
Sure. You know, I worked out an arrangement with Paul. Paul was a co-author, you know, and we worked out an arrangement. I mean, whatever we realized, whatever proceeds we realized, royalties, my wife and I realized, we've committed to three organizations. Primarily, when Lauren passed away, we started a scholarship at Columbia University in her name, at the Columbia Journalism School, and that was 4 years ago. And over the years, as a result of ourselves, you know, each month, each year, we try to support her as best we can financially. And likewise, lots of her friends and colleagues that work with her, and even former students at the school, continue to send donations into it. And the fund has grown. And we've been able to award scholarships, not very much. I mean, $1,000, maybe $1,500 to young journalism students who were attending Columbia the last 4 years. So it's really nice in that respect that her name is going to remain, you know, continue to help people as she did in life, you know. And the other thing is that there are two organizations called the Lung Cancer Alliance and the Jones Legacy, which is perhaps I'll give you a little information on that. In 2007, shortly after she passed away in November, we were invited to New York to accept an award posthumously for Lauren. It was called the Joni Award. It's named after a young woman who worked for ABC TV who lost her life from lung cancer. Again, a non-smoker, and so we went down and we received the award. And they've now changed the name. I guess it's Jones Legacy, Uniting Against Lung Cancer. So whatever proceeds that derive from this book are going to go to that Lung Cancer Alliance and the Columbia Scholarship, you know, that we established. Lauren also received an award from, we went down in 2008, another posthumous award. She was named Advocate of the Year in 2008 for the Suffolk Community Council in Long Island. And we went down to that dinner, my wife and I, and it was just amazing that evening. So many people came up to us at that dinner telling us about Lauren and how she wrote many stories about them and helped them to gain funding for the various enterprises that they were running, and their homes for abused children, for the elderly, for the homeless. And she even, one individual conveyed to us that even in the wintertime, she would go around sometimes with them on a cold, blustery evening, you know, with their van, trying to get homeless people back to the shelters, you know. So she was just a remarkable kid, you know.
And, yeah, beautiful girl. What do you do? I spoke with you the other day and told you that I lost our daughter Haley about 17 years ago, and okay. I think for all of us there is a need to keep that child alive in some way.
Absolutely.
I have my own way of keeping her memory yep. going. What do you
what
and
do you do? Okay.
Your wife do?
Okay. Well, primarily what I do is when Lauren was a child, you know, 4, 5 years old, 6 years old. I used to go. I was a kite aficionado. Okay, so I used to love to go fly kites. So Lauren on Sunday mornings, probably because I worked in the frozen food industry, and I worked many hours. You know, so generally Sunday was my day off, so to speak. And I would take her, give my wife a break, you know, because she was with Lauren all week long. So mm-hmm. I would take Lauren, and we go to a beach, and I would fly my kites.
Yeah.
And Lauren loved flying the kites. Matter of fact, my book was originally titled Reaching for the Sky, but then the publishers thought that perhaps we should go with the name of the column that she wrote, Life with Cancer. Because Lauren, as I said, always set high goals and ideals. And I can remember, I used to fly this the kite, and she would always, I'd be running along the beach, and I can remember her saying, Daddy, make it go higher, make it go higher. That's all she always ever said, make it go higher. And running along like crazy to get that thing airborne. But what I do now, ever since she passed away, is I have a special kite that I fly. I've got a picture of it, my favorite picture. Matter of fact, it's the picture that's on the book. I have that picture on the kite, and every year on the anniversary of her birth, which is March 28th, and then again on the anniversary of her death, which is May 15th, I go to the beach. My wife and I, if she's able to go, because as I say, she's on dialysis, but I go myself and I fly the kite in her memory. That's all. So.
That's wonderful. Wonderful. Do you, you know, she wrote that column for all that length of time. She must have had impact on many people. Did anyone ever contact you about your daughter?
When you say contact, yes, I've gotten cards and I've gotten letters. Yeah. As I say, I had one from a woman in Troy, New York, just before Christmas. She sent us a beautiful card and about Lauren, and she had come across Lauren's book. And commented on Lauren, what a wonderful person she thought she was, and you know, about, because in the book it explains not only did she write about her cancer, but she also, there are some chapters in there about some of the work that she did with regard to child abuse and elderly abuse and so forth, you know. So she read the book and she got from it, and she really it made our day, you know, when to hear something like that, you know. So
yeah, what a wonderful girl she was. She really was someone that went to bat for people, didn't she?
Absolutely.
I mean, that was what her mission was.
That was her mission was. She was a societal. I call her a social journalist. That's what she was, because from the very first she started working there, it was always about society type problems, you know. And you know, she also received the you probably know in the book. The book has a foreword by Anna Quinlan, the noted author Anna Quinlan.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons is that Lauren, I contacted Ms. Quinlan. It was difficult getting a hold of her, but I chased her down because I remember Lauren receiving the Child Welfare League of America Anna Quinlan Award.
Yeah.
This was back in the mid-90s, early 90s, I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was able to, I did a Google search, and I found that she was married to an attorney in New Jersey, and I put together a package, and I sent the package off to her. And I got a wonderful, about three or four days later, I got a wonderful email from Anna Quinlan saying that she it wasn't necessary for me to send all of that, that she was quite aware of the type of work Lauren had done, you know, all the years she was a journalist. So I asked her point blank if, you know, she would be, would kindly write a foreword for the book, and she agreed, and she put together just a wonderful, wonderful forward for the book, and she was just a warm, wonderful, gracious lady, you know. So,
well, you know, Frank, we've come to the end of our interview, and I just wanted to thank you so much for sharing that. And I would like people to please go out and pick up this book. Not only are you going to read this amazing love story by her dad, Frank Tarzano, but Life with Cancer, the Lauren Tarzano story, will really touch your heart, and it will also help because the proceeds go to do so much good. So
absolutely.
I know you can get it at Amazon.com, and you can also get it at www.getfocusedradio.com on the products page. We'll have it available for you there. Thank you so much, my friend, for sharing that. And
Kate,
and
thank Kate. Thank you so much for having me on and for allowing me to to talk about my daughter's book.
And keep talking about her. She's an amazing girl.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Take care.
Bye-bye.
So thanks so much, everyone, for tuning in once again. An amazing show. I hope you feel as inspired as I do after speaking with Fran Drescher and Frank Terrazano. Next week, please join in. I have Sam Sorbo coming on, and she's much more than Hercules' wife. Yes, she's the wife of, Kevin Sorbo, but she's also a philosopher, photographer, hospital volunteer, and founder of TrueFeminist.com. Sam speaks five languages and advocates homeschooling, and we're going to talk to her about all of that next week. For all of you out there, please enjoy what you have, the blessings we've all been given, and treasure every moment that you have with each other. Please try to make a difference. Goodbye for now.
You've been listening to Get Focused Radio with Kate Hennessy. Tune in each Wednesday at 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Don't miss this powerful hit show as Kate and her guests inspire you to become beyond amazing, overcome life's challenges, and truly become unstoppable. This hour of power, filled with humor and insight, will have you screaming yes to your life. Tune in next week as Kate and her guests share their secrets, talk about what almost brought them down, and offer inspiring techniques we all need in order to make our lives epic. For more information about Kate and the show, visit GetFocusedRadio.com and spread the juiciness of hope.